Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Monday, September 30th, 2013. Well, tonight's guest is one of the first winners of Faith FM's Shining Star Christian Vocal Talent Competition. Dean Bridgewater will be releasing his debut CD, Beginnings, in mid-October, and he's in the studio tonight to talk with us about the new CD and the whole process. Dean Bridgewater. Good evening, Dean.
Hey, how are you doing, Robert?
Not bad. So when did you start singing? What got you into music?
Oh, man. I've loved music from since I was a little boy. I used to sing all the adverts on the TV, and you know, my brothers and sisters didn't really like that because I guess I wasn't as good a singer as I am now. But used to do that and, you know, play drums when I was really young. I was involved in music in school. So I've always had a love for music. Didn't really come to bear until I came to this country, but yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty much involved in music my whole life, one way or another.
Well, so who have been some of your musical influences over the years? Who have been some of the artists that you've listened to and maybe even tried to play like or sing like it?
That's a really good question. Yeah. I don't think you have time, Rob. There's a lot of people, but well, I'll tell you what. I mean, really early on, from a Christian groups like the Winans, even before I knew who they were, Andre Crouch, like on the secular side, you know, Bob Marley, as far as music, some people in England that you probably wouldn't have heard of, people like John McLean and Peter Spence. I always really liked anything that had some clarity to it, the music that was clear, mm-hmm. That I could understand. But then, yeah, I mean, Stevie Wonder, you name it, like David Bowie, everybody. I'm an appreciator of music, so yeah. I can appreciate lots of different styles and genres, and I'm a very quiet listener, so I'll be sitting there, and my mom would say to me, you know, are you okay? Yeah, I'm just listening to the music, taking it mm-hmm. all in. So I was just able to absorb a lot of stuff early on, even really before I knew what it would mean at this stage mm-hmm. in my life. But yeah, I just really loved good music and appreciate, you know, good songwriting and stuff like that. So I really listen to a lot of different artists over my life.
Well, I mean, listen, you've touched on reggae, soul, pop, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. gospel. Was there any one style that you were kind of drawn to?
This debut album that I'm doing now is predominantly a reggae album. So I would say reggae was the music that I really fell in love with first.
Mm-hmm. So the Bob Marley, Jimmy Cliff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, just an appreciative of that kind of music. There was and there is still a movement in England called Lovers Rock. So it's very like soft songs about love and you know, a good-natured song for the most part. Mm-hmm. So I took in a lot of that when I was younger and just really appreciate how it sounded and the singability of it all. And yeah, I think that would be my first influence. And even though
Did that sort of devolve over to the ska?
Well, yeah, well, exactly, because that's where reggae comes from. The reggae that we know now derives some ska and styles like mento from way back in the 60s, right? And so when I was growing up in the 70s, it was Bob Marley's time, really, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So I heard a lot of that, just loved the sound of it all. And yeah, that kind of stayed with me even when I started to learn urban contemporary gospel music when I came to this country. But yeah, reggae would be first, I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know that. They're kind of surprised. Oh, he's doing a reggae album? Wow, that's surprising.
Well, looking at that, like, who have been some of your other influences along the way, you know, especially in your spiritual development as you've been growing?
Jeez, John P. Key, Fred Hammond, the Clark Sisters, Dietrich Haddon, they're failing me now. Pretty much everyone you can think of on the urban contemporary gospel side. I mean, Chris Tomlin as well. I really appreciate good songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other guy? He's going to come to me. But yeah, pretty much everybody that you would say is in the top 40, both in Christian and in urban contemporary gospel music, has influenced me. Dawkins and Dawkins. There's a group that came out way back in 85 that influenced me a lot called Commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group of five, six guys. And just really nice, wonderful harmonies and brilliant songwriting. And I would say probably secondary to reggae, it was that group that really, I was like, wow, gospel music could sound like this, because I hadn't really listened to gospel music before that time.
Right.
So I came in about 1990, and those are one of the first groups I heard, Commission, John P. Key, Fred. And I was like, wow, I'd really like to sing this kind of music, right? And once I got saved, I got the opportunity to do some of those standards and stuff like that. So that helped too.
Yeah. Well, Kirk Franklin?
Oh, for sure. And he came later, but yeah. Kirk Franklin. Again, brilliant songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's not a song if the words are not good words, you know what I mean?
So. Yeah. Well, in terms of songwriting, though, what is it that attracts you? What do you look for in a good song? And you mentioned the words, the lyrics, and that. Is it the hooks and stuff like that as well? Is it just how something comes together? What attracts you to a song?
Well, I think from the standpoint of being ministered to, there's got to be a story and a purpose behind the song. I mean, a good hook is great, and it's going to get you bopping your head, and that's fine. But, you know, during my life appreciating music, I've been able to separate songs in different categories. Like, you'll get a song that just has a good, as you say, hook, and it sounds good, but then you sing it a few times, you're like, okay,
yeah,
this is great, but there's nothing else to it.
There's no meat to it.
No,
yeah.
There's nothing else to it. And then you'll get a Chris Tomlin song like Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And you look at all the sum of all the parts, and you see how it all comes together and how it actually speaks to your situation as well. And it makes sense. Because nowadays, as you know, Robert, I mean, anybody can, you can make a quote-unquote hit in your basement with your computer, laptop, and as long as it has a good beat, people tend not to care so much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, it's got to be, you know, the words have to be meaningful. The way it's arranged has to make sense as well, because I'm a musician as well, right? So that comes to bear too. So yeah, I look for those two things. And it's not really from a critical standpoint, although I am, because I'm very critical of my own work too. But yeah, you know, a good song has those elements. Good songwriting, good arrangement, not too long, you know, has a good flow from beginning to end. So that's kind of what attracts me.
Well, what I want to do right now is take a really quick break, and then we come back. We'll continue our conversation with Dean Bridgewater and talk about his new CD, Beginnings. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
You say I'm beautiful. feel something, something that's different than helplessness and loneliness. So rock me to sleep, please stay close to me.
Back to Arts Connection, and we're going to continue our conversation with Dean Bridgewater, talking about his beginning CD. But just before we go to that, one of the things that kind of led to this, the CD, and that was being involved in Faith FM's Shining Star competition.
Right.
What went through your mind the year when you were announced as winner? what was the first thing that went through your mind?
I was elated. I was really happy. You know, just to, you know, I guess to be, when something that you do is recognized, and I've worked on my craft a long time. I've been singing for a long time, and, you know, really basically, I didn't go to school or anything like that, but, you know, I do put a lot into what I do and into the singing aspect of it as well, and trying to make sure, you know, I do it my best as unto God. So to be recognized in that way and to go through the process was really amazing, to meet all the people that I did. And yeah, I remember thinking when I won, I think I was just grinning. I didn't even say anything. I was just kind of like grinning from ear to ear. But it was a really excellent experience. And I think it's good for this region, mm-hmm. just for people to know that, yeah, gospel music exists over here too.
What kind of led you to even entering something like that?
I don't think I'd ever done anything like that before, and I thought, well, you know, it'd be a good way to you know, get some exposure, get my voice out there. I had been thinking about doing something as far as a recording, but really didn't know how it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seemed like a good opportunity. It seemed to make sense. I got some encouragement from family and friends to do it. So, and like I said, again, I was thinking, yeah, it'd be a good thing for the region just to be involved in something like that, because I like to be involved in music or anything musical or anything that's going to help promote gospel music. So I thought, yeah, that'd be a great opportunity.
Right. So now this has all led to the debut album. That sort of,
right.
what led to you finally deciding to finally get into the studio and start doing the tracks and stuff like that?
Well, you know, the saying goes that good things come to those who wait, and it's been a long time. It seems like it's been a long time that I've been waiting for this to happen. God knows best. In his infinite wisdom, he was able to line things up in the correct way. But really, it was just a spark. Like, I had worked in the studio on some material 7 years ago, and did some studio work, and it never came to bear for one reason or another. And I was in my my home one day, and I was thinking of a gentleman that I had worked with in the past, and I was like, let me just give him a call and see if he'd be interested in doing something. And at that time, I had the idea for what the Beginnings project would be. So I called him up, and he said, yeah, that would be interesting. Let's move forward. And it basically just went like that. It took so long to get to that point, but then it was a simple procedure of me picking up the phone. So
yeah,
it's weird the way things happen. I can't even explain it, to be honest with you.
Well, what have been some of the challenges you've been facing as you've been going through the process and even in the studios itself?
Well, the creative part of it is the for me anyway, it's the least of my worries. I won't say worries, but
mm-hmm.
There's so much involved in doing a project like this that people don't see. You know, maybe 1,000 times people see me and say, when is your CD going to be done? And I'll say, soon. And, you know, then they'd see me again and they'd be like, when is it going to be done? I'd be like, soon. They said, well, you said that last time. And eventually I had to say to them, look, there's nobody that wants this done more quickly than I do. But there's things that you have to do, and especially if you're going to get it right. And when you're doing it independently, you want to make sure that the right things are in place. So a lot of it is just timing. A lot of the work that I did on it was remote. So the studio's in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
We did the recording here, but we had to do work in Toronto. So, you know, there's that logistical challenge. It just takes time. And I've come to realize that usually most CDs take about a year. I think I was being really optimistic and thought it would be done a lot quicker. But that's about the turnaround time to do a CD and to do it properly. So, yeah, I mean, finances as well. But God has been faithful and has provided people to help. And, you know, provided people to treat me with grace and to give me time to do the things that I need to do. So it's been an excellent process that way. And just growth as far as drawing closer to God and really getting serious about doing this, because it's just it's much more than the music as well, mm-hmm. right? So,
yeah. In terms of you know, you talked about some of the challenges, but what have sort of been some of the high points as you've been going through this? Sort of the aha moments where you know you're sitting back and all of a sudden you're going, yeah, that you know what is
I think you nailed it there. Like every time I've listened to the project now, maybe 300 times, I don't know. And it's funny because we did the recording last year, and then there would be times when I thought, man, is this ever going to come to fruition? Are we going to get, you know, the next phase done? And then I would listen to the project, and I'd get encouraged. You know, my heart would be encouraged, and I God would remind me that, yeah, I did give you these songs. I did orchestrate all this. Mm-hmm. It's not getting done in the time that you think it should be done. But there's still purpose behind it. So, yeah, listening to the project every now and then and getting encouragement from family and friends. My wife is a big part of that. She would just sometimes say to me, well, when your CD's done and when this is done, she would speak like that at times when I was, like, not knowing how it was going to get done. So that was a big part of it, too. But, yeah, mostly just listening to the project and saying, okay, we got to finish this.
Have you had a chance to listen to the final mix?
Yeah.
And sort of... I'm a writer, and so I can take a look at a finished piece that's now published in a publication, and I'll see all the mistakes.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Then you're just like me then. Yeah.
You know, have you had a chance to listen to the final mix and sort of just sit back and go, okay?
Well, I guess you'd probably notice too. There's a part where you just have to say, okay, it's finished now, right? And for me, that's very difficult because. Mm-hmm. I always want to get better. I always want to grow. I have ideas in my head. But overall, I'm very happy with the finished product.
Right.
My drive and my aim when I did this project, it being reggae, and I guess it wouldn't have mattered what genre of music it was, but I just feel that I owe it to the people who are going to hear it to just make sure it's authentic. So that was always my drive. You know, I want to make sure this, if it's reggae, let it sound like reggae. And so we were able to get the right people on board, the right producer, the right musicians, the right singers, etc. And yeah, I've listened to it a few times now. It's actually to the point where I don't really need to listen to it anymore.
Right.
So, which is good.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to it like every day just to make sure things were right. But yeah, I'm very happy. And you know, every now and then I have to be reminded. I'll pick it up and listen to it. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. It's still sounding good. So
when it gets into the hands of the people that are listening to that, what are you hoping people are going to take away as they're listening to this? There's a difference between, you know, what we do as Christians, because there is a purpose, there is
absolutely,
a message, there's something we want behind it. So what was, you know, going into this, and even now as you look at it, what are you hoping that people are going to take away as they listen to the music?
I hope that people's hearts will be encouraged in knowing that there is a God who cares about every aspect of life. There's a few different songs on there. There's a song of praise called Won't Stop. There's a song of kind of personal introspection called I Surrender. And that talks about how, you know, I just want to give you every part of my life, Lord, and let you use it the way you want it to be used. There's another song in there about the goodness of God. So there's some different songs that just talk about the good things in Christ. You know, there's so much negative things that we could talk about or sing about. It's just good to know that God is good. He still provides. He's still faithful, and he cares about the details. So that's kind of the drive of the song in a kind of holistic way. There's also some standards that people know, like How Great Is Our God and different songs like that, just to encourage not just believers, but people that don't know the Lord as well. And I'm hoping that's what people will take away from it. They'll be encouraged,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, to keep going.
Great. Well, we're going to take one final break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with musician Dean Bridgewater. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
You, with a poker face, still left a trace. That you were trying, and me putting on a show, thinking you would notice I'd been crying. Just one night apart would tear up my heart. We're learning when the right goes wrong, when the road you're on seems ever long and winding, you can pray for the strength to stand. If you take my hand, we'll find a way to make forever stay. Kept it all inside, tried hard to hide your mixed emotions, and I couldn't hold back the tears bottled up for years, breaking oceans. The
Welcome back to Arts Connection. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with musician Dean Bridgewater. Now, we were talking about this new CD, and it's been a long time coming that you're actually going to have and have slated and are advertising a CD release event. Right. When is that taking place? What are some of the details on that one?
It's taking place Thanksgiving Sunday evening. It's at 6:30 at the Kitchener Church of God, October 13th. Be there. I know that you'll enjoy it. It's going to be a great night of worship and praise. Tickets are $15 entry to the actual release party, and $30 if you want to get a CD as well, which is probably the best way to go.
Yeah. Now, what if people can't make it there? What if they're they're away for Thanksgiving? That where can they get a copy of the CD? How can they get a hold of all that?
It's going to be available on iTunes. Through CD Baby as well. I'm going to be hitting a few of the area bookstores. It's going to be at the Gospel Lighthouse and different places like that as well. So it's kind of cool because a lot of this is learning for me. So I'm learning all these different ways to market and distribute and all that. So it's a learning curve. But yeah, we're going to have it as available as we can for different people to get. So hopefully, mm-hmm. if you can't make it to the concert, you can get it through iTunes. You can always call directly at the church. The number is 519-745-8561, and there'll be copies there as well.
Yeah, and I know it's probably early because you're just actually getting it out, but starting to think about another CD?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a strange. It's so weird that you would ask that question, because when I started the process, it was all about this, and now I understand. I would go to concerts and I'd want them to sing old songs, and they'd be like, no, man, I've sung those songs already. Yeah. I want to sing the new stuff now. So, yeah, now I've finished this. I'm already thinking about material for another CD. So I guess that's how it works, right?
Yeah. So what's on your agenda coming up after the release? Concerts or anything coming out?
I'm going to be in Mississauga at the Convention Center October 25th. There's a gala event there, and I'm going to be taking place. That's going to be taking place. I have an interview in some churches to make stops at in London, England, where I was born. So I've created some connections there. There's a radio station there I'll be doing an interview on as well. So, you know, as an independent artist, you have to do the best you can to really get yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'll be doing for the next little while. I have a trip to the States, Florida, planned as well. So it's just going to be a lot of work, a lot of beating the pavement and shaking hands and
yeah,
stuff like that.
And sing your vocal cords.
Yeah,
off.
For yeah. Sure, for
great.
Sure, for sure.
Well, if people want to learn more about you, how can they get information on you?
Hit me up on Facebook. Website is forthcoming. It's going to be DeanBridgewater.com. It's not up and running yet, but it will be by the time the October 13th rolls around or before. You can also get information from me through the Tri-City Multicultural Center. Same phone number, 519-741. 519-745-8561. And yeah, just there'll be more. I'm on Twitter as well. Like I said, I'm on Facebook. I'm on SoundCloud. So, you know, I'll get a hold of you if you don't get a hold of me.
Great. Well, Dean, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And if anybody out there wants to know more about the Shining Star Christian Vocal Talent Competition as well, stay tuned to the station here or check out at the information out at www.shiningstarcontest.com. Well, thanks for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Dean Bridgewater. And if you miss a program or want to hear it again, look for an archive program on our website at www.salaministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@salawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.